Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Another blessing to be here. No one blew off any fingers, right?
It was so deafening in our ears.
Amen.
The Fourth of July went with a bang, and Let's focus on some of the things that have also been happening. It's probably not just me, but you've probably seen that in the past, month and a half or so, spring has kind of hit us pretty hard with some storms, right? And, it just got me thinking as getting ready for the lesson this morning, being ready for the Lord to come is all about being prepared. Because last week we talked that, he's going to come at a time where we don't expect it. It's just going to happen. And so the only option is for us to be prepared. And so this morning we're going to go into Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew 25, Jesus gives some illustrations on preparation and how important it is for us to be prepared. As we studied from the previous class, or lessons in Matthew chapter 24, we have to always watch. We have to always be ready, because the scriptures reveal that when the Lord returns, it's going to be just like a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night." And Jesus in Matthew 24, verse 36 says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but only my Father." So I'm going to begin in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to read the first 13 verses. And we're going to see this parable that Jesus gives and apply it to how we can be more prepared. Verse 1, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you.'" Verse 13, "Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." So Jesus, in this parable, uses the custom of marriage to help us to understand. And it was something that Jesus did very often in speaking of parables. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 13, just a few chapters before this, verse 34 and 35, Matthew writes, "All these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept in secret since the foundation of the world.'" So it was prophesied way back in Psalm chapter 78, verse 2, that the Messiah would speak in parables. Parables are just simply stories, comparisons that illustrate very spiritual lessons. An easy way to understand it is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's a parable. And Jesus used different parables to describe the kingdom of heaven. the kingdom of God. He used fishing illustrations. He used agricultural illustrations, sheep herding. He's used this here, the virgins, the marriage feast. And I guess it wouldn't take long if you were to do a study on first century customs and manners as far as, and I actually have a book about marriages. It's very different from today's marriage ceremonies. It didn't typically happen on one day only. It was strung out. And so what would happen was the bride and her bridesmaid would come to the house and they would wait for the bridegroom to come. And so that is very symbolic here. We see in verses 2 through 5, though, there were two groups Jesus gave. He said you had five who were wise and five who were foolish. Now, if I remember right, and I want you to go back into chapter 24. In chapter 24, verses 45 through 51, remember we were talking about the final day when Jesus, that day, the last day when Jesus comes back. And verse 44, he says, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Same thing that he says in verse 13. We don't know. But in verse 45, he says, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master finds, or rather whose master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. So we have a wise servant here. Someone that the master has put in charge, made ruler over his house, and he, when the master comes back, and if you think about the spiritual implications, Jesus coming back, he finds him doing what he said he would be doing. And he said to that, verse 47, assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But, verse 48, if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants, eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware of it. So on the other hand, you had the evil servant. So it sounds very, very similar. We're just, you know, a section right before our context in Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus talks about the five foolish and the five wise virgins. The only difference, when you think about it, they were in the right place, right? They were there at the right time. They actually had a lamp. It was essential to have a lamp because sometimes you waited till after midnight, third hour, all the way. I don't know why it took him so long to get there. Maybe, you know, he came from a long distance. But the difference is the wise virgins were extra prepared. You see, these lamps that we're talking about, I don't know if you've ever seen any artifacts of lamps, but we're only talking about something that's about that big. 2 to 3 inches, they say, in diameter. It's real small. And it's got a little lip on the front of it to where you would place a wick, and then they would fill it with olive oil. So one of those full of oil is not going to last all night long. Anybody would know that. And so for these foolish virgins to come to the wedding feast expecting that it's going to take some extra time, or the possibility is there, and to not have what they needed was totally being unprepared or being partially prepared. On the other hand, the wise virgins, they brought extra oil. They all had to wait, though. They all had to wait. And verse 6 tells us that cry was made at midnight. Don't know how long, you know, when they started their, when they started waiting or when they arrived at the house to where he was coming. But the cry was made. They knew he was going to coming, but they didn't know exactly when. Because coming doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, they're right here knocking at, you know, they're no. You know, they could be 10 miles away in a different city trying to walk there. Here coming. And some cultures, one of the, I was down to Brazil doing a mission, and that was kind of one of the funny things there. They said that in this culture, when someone says, we're coming, does not mean that they're actually in the car driving. That's the way we would see it, right? That means that they're just thinking about doing it. They haven't actually made any effort. So the same thing, you know, when we're talking about here, he's coming, but no exact time of the arrival. So when the cry was made, verse 7 says that all the virgins woke up, and what'd they do? They start trimming their lamps, you know, making the flames grow a little bit more. And those foolish virgins, they say, give us some of your oil. Give me some of your oil so that we can see, so that we can have this light, because they're supposed to usher in the bridegroom to the bride. That was their job. What'd they tell them? Go buy it. You know, it's not like today that our culture and our society, at midnight you could go to a store and probably get some olive oil. Mm-hmm. There's some 24-hour stores you could probably get some. Not in the first century. What are you going to do? I mean, I suppose you could go find an olive tree and press it. You know, it'd be as fresh, you know. You're not going to be able to go to 7-Eleven. You can't go to Hy-Vee. You couldn't go. You're not going to get it. So, however, the indications from the context, they went to buy it, verse 10. And when they came back, which means probably found it, what happened? Look what he says. The door was shut. The bridegroom arrived while they were gone. They missed it. And if you continue to look, they were not allowed to go in. Verse 12 says, I do not know you. If I had known you, guess what? You'd have been waiting. You would have been prepared. You would have ushered me in. But you didn't. You didn't. The very main point that's being made is verse 13 there. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. That phrase, if you look into it, if you've kept up all the way through chapter 24, actually beginning in chapter 23, that phrase has come up like, well, 4 times plus this one. He's coming at an hour we do not expect. It's going to happen. So the only logical rationale, and if you remember back in the first part of chapter 24, the warning was to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD. That was the warning. It was going to be destroyed by the Roman army. The Roman came and 1.1 million people were killed. But those who were Christians who received the warning from Jesus himself, not a single soul. That's what Josephus, Tacitus, some of the other extra literature writers said in the first century. Not a Christian perished because they had the warning. So if we follow his warnings, if we follow his instructions, if we heed to what he says, we can be prepared for when he does come. You know, it's true, there are going to be people who aren't prepared. I mean, there are times that I have to, you know, be honest. There are things that happen to where, you know, I drop the ball. I'm not prepared. But this is something we cannot fool around with, because he's going to come at a time where we don't know. I want us to look to the book of Luke for a moment. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 35. Now, I want you to take note of this with the idea of preparation. Notice what Jesus is saying. Luke 12, 35, he says, "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning." That means ready, right? Get ready. "And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants." Verse 39. "But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." You kind of get the idea that God wants us to be ready, don't you? He wants us to be ready for when he returns. And so our lesson this morning is several from this parable. The first one is we must remain constantly on alert, prepared, vigilant to meet our Lord. There's not a day or not a second that goes by every day that we shouldn't be with that mindset. Oh, yes, I know it's terrible. We have lives. We have our jobs. We have our children. We have our problems that we deal with. We have all these things competing for our attentions every day. And so it's hard at times to be in preparation mode. Another lesson that we see from this parable is that my preparation can't be transferred to you for your preparation. Each one of us is responsible to be ready. Now, that doesn't mean that we collectively as the church, as a group of people, as a family here, don't support and encourage one another to stay ready, because that's kind of what we're doing here, right? But when it comes down to it, what I've done can't help you. We all have to give an account to ourselves. And so you have to be ready. Another lesson. Now, the virgins, they weren't in trouble. They weren't accused of sleeping. I mean, it's in the middle of the night. They fell asleep. Nothing was said about that. The only thing was the ones that brought the extra oil were okay, and the ones that didn't were unprepared. But when that time comes, there's not going to be any chance to run and get any oil. There's not going to be time to get prepared. If Jesus comes back like a thief in the night, there's no, "Hold on a minute, Jesus, let me make it right with, you know, it's going to be too late." Preparation is ongoing. We talked about last week, you know, that no one knows the day or the hour. And it's confirmed also in this parable, the fact that there's no time. There is no one alive on this earth now or ever that's ever going to be able to say Jesus is going to come back on 2025. Because there's no signs. The signs that we read in chapter 24 were those signs for the destruction of Jerusalem. And then in verses 36 and following in chapter 24, he says what? "Of that day and hour you will not know." There's no signs. So there's not going to be any signs. It's going to be unexpected. Another lesson. It's not enough just to prepare once. You know, a lot of times we see Christians, people who are new to the faith, who obey the gospel, they're buried in water for the forgiveness of their sins, they come up out of the water, and then life grabs them and chokes the word of God out of their hearts, meaning no follow through. And this can certainly happen to new Christians. It can happen to Christians who are older as well in their faith. But it's more than just being prepared one time. It's a lifetime of preparedness, right? It's the continuing action of being prepared. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have mistakes, we're not going to sin, we're not going to fall short, because we will sin. We will do things that doesn't make God happy. John in 1 John tells us, in the book of 1 John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us of our sins. It's all about our actions. It's all about what we're doing. If I am in the light where Jesus is, where God is, then I have forgiveness. And the same thing is true if you are in the light, as I am in the light, as God is light, then we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus forgiving us. So there are going to be times where we walk through this life where we jump out of the state of preparedness and we fall in our sin. We still have the blood of Jesus to forgive us. But there would be a time where that could be lost. It's not a, you know, there's a teaching out there in the world, in the religious world, that they say once saved, always saved. And it goes against the scriptures. Because one can become a faithful believer and something happened and they turn their backs on God. There's examples in the scriptures. And this Bible actually says that the second result is worse than the first. Because you saw the love of God and you chose and rejected it. So one can lose their kingdom status and be lost. And then the last lesson, vigilance must be constant. We must be vigilant. We must be constant because we do not know the day or the hour. We don't know when he's coming back. And so Jesus stresses that importance in this parable. You know, it's one thing to do a little bit to put you on the path to being in the right place at the right time, because we all want to be at the right place in the right time when Jesus comes. But it's completely different to have everything going in the right direction in our lives to be prepared. You know, that's one of my greatest fears, and it should be ours, is the fact of, hey, we want to hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear. Enter into the kingdom. And I can't help but think, you know, looking back at my past, looking back at my life and saying, you know what? There are so many things that I've done that I should never be forgiven for. But he does. So the struggle that I have with it most is that still sometimes having that guilt of what happened. Even though I know what the Bible says, even though I know what God says and the fact that I am forgiven. We cannot forget. We cannot give up. So today, partial preparation. Next week, we're going to talk about improper preparation. We're going to look at another parable that Jesus gives in chapter 25. It's the parable of the talents. And so we're going to see there the illustration or the parable that Jesus gave out so many talents. The master gave out so many talents, and it's what they did with them and what that means. So there'll be some more spiritual applications for that as well. We're blessed to be here this morning, blessed to be able to worship our God, to serve him, and just wanted to give you opportunity if you need prayers this morning on your walk. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you've not put the Lord on in baptism, or maybe you've eschewed some from being prepared. Whatever the need is, now's the time to come while we stand and sing the song of invitation. Page number